And it's amazing. Sometimes we all think it's about the jump shot. Well, really, it's so much more than the jump shot, and that's developed with the total person.
Welcome to the Jamoti Podcast, where we interview coaches and leaders to find out not just what they do, but how they do what they do. Becoming the best version of ourselves is Jamoti, just a matter of doing it. Today, we are joined by head men's basketball coach Scott Drew of Baylor University. Coach Drew has led the Bears the last 18 seasons to 8 tournament appearances with 2 Sweet 16s, 2 Elite 8s, and 1 national championship in 2021. In this episode, Coach Drew discusses how to live out your culture, what makes Baylor basketball different, how to handle defeat, how to use social media to enhance your program, and we have a great speed round. Before we hear more from Coach Drew, take a moment to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on social media at Jamoti Podcast. Well, Coach Drew, I just want to thank you so much for joining us this conversation today. And also, it's really cool. I get to learn a lot from these coaches that come on, but this is special being able to listen to you again as my former coach. I feel kind of like I've transported back in time, like I'm a player again in the locker room. And I'm about to learn from you. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. And the great thing is now I get to learn from you guys a lot more. I always learn from the players, but especially when you get on the coaching side of things, it's amazing the things that I'm able to pick up. So appreciate you guys.
Yes, sir. How do you live out your culture on a daily basis?
Well, the good thing is you've experienced it, and hopefully every year it gets a little bit better. And that's because as coaches want to improve, just like the players want to improve every year. And it starts with your staff. And I think players' actions always speak louder than words. And I think players feel staffs that like one another, that pull for one another, that aren't jealous, envious, try to do things for attention. But I mean, we ask our players to always be great teammates. Well, being on a staff, you have to be a great teammate because you have to show respect. You have to sacrifice. And then as the players see that, I think the next part is with the culture, things that kind of make our program maybe different. Being at a Christian school, we're able to do a little bit more. For instance, we can start practice in prayer. We can close practice in prayer. We can have players Bible study. We can have chapel service on the day of the games. With the chapel services at the home games, Pastor Mark Weibel coached at Baylor as an associate pastor at town at Highland Baptist. He does a great job with the theme of the year and our home game chapel services. And then on the road, we're so blessed that our assistant coaches, something that they're open to doing because it takes time to plan, but they do an amazing job in bringing the word on the road. And I know that the chapel services I learned so much from and are so advantageous to me as a husband, a father, as a coach. And every time we have a staff meeting, we begin in prayer. And at the end of the day, everything we try to do is we try to incorporate God. So it's a Christ-centered program. Again, not every place you can do that, right. But at Baylor, we are, and it's a blessing.
Yeah, and I can say from the experience I had with you and your staff that first year, your first year, my senior year, was I was always impressed because you mentioned a second ago, you said it starts with our coaches first and leading by that example. I think as players, we were so astonished by how joyful you were, how much energy you brought every day and how much optimism, almost to the point where we were waiting for it to break. Like, how can he sustain this? How can the staff sustain this? But you did. And then because of that, we were able to get on board. And it kind of looks like these teams, obviously you have better players, better talent, you know, but they're really gelling well with what's going on. Can you talk really quick about, I think everybody's able to see because of the success you had and hear more about joy and just maybe what that stands for and what you think about it.
Yeah. So joy is something that, we were able to implement this year, and joy is something that our program's done, just we haven't had the word joy used, and credit Dabo Swinney and Clemson for helping pass that on, but it's an easy way to remember Jesus, others, yourself, and I know it goes real well with the greatest commandment, love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbors yourself. So if you're putting God first in everything, and you're putting your neighbors and which are others second, everything falls in line. And I think parents, the best thing is Christmas time. You got your kids opening up gifts and they're having a good time. You're having a good time. And normally they say with parenting, you're only as happy as your unhappiest child. And that's where if you just want everyone to be happy and at a joy stage of what their role might be and to be cherished and loved no matter what that role might be. Because as we know, normally there's only five guys on the court. So that means there's eight sitting. So those eight need to be appreciated and loved just as equal, because they're the ones that get the five ready to play on the court. You can't practice without them. And it's kind of like that iceberg. You see the tip, which are the five guys, but the base is really what the team is about. Another analogy we always use is tug of war. If you put a team together and one person's off the tug of war, it affects you. And again, everybody matters.
The Jamoti Podcast is powered by Bology. What's your BSA score? The Bology Skill Assessment is the only verified skills metric endorsed by colleges to discover and develop the best talent for your team. This 10-minute, 100-shot test can be taken for free today on the Bology mobile app. Elevate your game. What's the one thing that makes your program different?
Well, that would be the great thing is we're able to sorry, I had to turn my phone off because people keep texting.
I can't imagine.
the great thing is, again, it's a Christ-centered program. Not all places you're allowed to do that. So that makes us different. Then the other thing would be with our staff, I think the fact that we have a no cursing policy. You got push-ups if you curse. And just I think we try to be real positive. We try to be real energetic. We try to be hold people accountable. And each year we try to get better at that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we want people to come to practice and be excited to be at practice. We want them excited to be in the gym. We don't want them like, oh man, I got to listen to this guy yell at me for two or three hours today. So we want this to be a safe place to come, a place that they have a goal, the players that come in, and we have a goal. And we want both to achieve our goals together. And normally the teams that win allow people to have opportunities to play professional. And most guys come in wanting to play in the NBA. So if they can reach that goal and dream, that means we've reached it together and we've had success and they've developed. And being a part of that is so rewarding.
A few things that's really cool for me to see is it's been 18 years since you and I did that first year together. But the consistency that you've had in those rules and values or standards more like, and values that you have, like the no cussing, that was there that first year. We had quite a few teammates that struggled with that, probably put on some good muscle from all the pushups they had to do. You were one of the first coaches I'd ever had that really it's like you wanted us to have a good time at practice. Cause it'd always been almost that Hoosier type practice of it's not for your enjoyment. You know, my practice aren't for your enjoyment, but you were different. Coach Tang beating the drums and then jock jams in the gym. So really cool to see that. Yeah, you haven't changed and you've remained consistent in those ways over the years.
Well, first of all, you're the only one that remembers jock jams, because the new guys, can you believe they don't even know what jock jams are? That's what's crazy. So we've adjusted the music we play. But again, I and this is why it's so important for us, the vets, and that's what we call you, Coach Same, and everyone else. When you guys come back and you pour into the young guys we have, because you laid the foundation. And if we didn't have the success with the starting to develop our culture with your group, it couldn't have been sustained with the next year and the year after and the year after. So again, you're such a big part of that. We don't get a chance to listen to jock jams as much, but I will tell you, during COVID, we had a segment where I was one of the only coaches that could work guys out because I had had COVID. Right. And so it was one-on-one with me, and I had to go a throwback, throw the jock jams in. So they got an introduction to jock jams. They actually thought it wasn't as bad as they thought.
I didn't think they would. Just give it a chance. Give it a chance. Cotton Eye Joe, all that stuff. Yeah. We Will Rock You. Like, it's just good stuff.
And Pat Conway, you remember him. He was a GA on our first staff. And He's one of the higher ups with the Bulls now, and his brother's done so well with the Denver Nuggets, being GM, vice president, whatever his title is now. And what's great is Pat says he's still the best jock jam guy out there. He could bring it like nobody else. So
love it.
At least there's a couple of us that remember.
Yes, sir. I think this question is important because I know just even at the high school level, I struggle to find time to meet with players and meet consistently with them. And so at the level that you're at, with all of the directions that guys are being pulled, coaches are being pulled, how and when do you meet with your players?
Well, the great thing is the NCAA came up with a rule. You could occasionally have meals with players. And sometimes coaches want to meet with players, but they don't want to meet with us really, right? Yeah. So you can have the best of both worlds. Everyone has to eat. And when you're eating, someone has to talk while the other eats and then vice versa. So you get conversation. So the good thing is we tend to try to go to lunch with our guys or breakfast with our guys. And normally we do that more in the summertime and the fall. But okay. Great opportunity to bond. And again, everybody's got to eat. So that's a great way to do it. And that's something that's worked for our staff.
I think something really unique about you and the staff that you have is it is more of a more than just basketball. And I think when you have those opportunities with them to spend outside of the program or outside of the gym, where it's not about a ball in their hands and what they can do for you there or for the team, I think that's really powerful when they have those moments.
Well, and again, that's what, I mean, we always talk about basketball development, but at Baylor, you prepare champions for life, and that's spiritual development, character formation, academic success, and athletic success. And we know they all go hand in hand. I mean, if you're not disciplined enough in the classroom, you're not going to be eligible. And if you're disciplined enough to do the things, the little things in the classroom to get to be successful there, you're probably going to do the little things on the court. And then same thing with the spiritual formation. I mean, we all know if you're feeling God's pleasure in what you're doing, you're living for Christ, then you're right in your wheelhouse. And it's amazing what kind of journey God can take you on. And then the character formation, not everyone's going to play in the NBA. And when you get done playing professional basketball, being able to know how to interview and how to get a job and how to network, but also the stronger a person's character is, wouldn't you want that person on your team? So if people are good in all the other areas, it directly affects their play on the court. And it's amazing. Sometimes we all think it's about the jump shot. Well, really, it's so much more than the jump shot. And that's developed with the total person.
The Jamoti Podcast is powered by Sideline Interactive. Sideline Interactive is the leading manufacturer for high-quality, innovative scoring tables and LED video display boards that help coaches and schools bring more excitement to fans, create huge fundraising opportunities, and make their jobs easier. Visit sidelineinteractive.com to check out their amazing products. How do you use social media to enhance your program?
Well, that's something that I'm probably not the best at. Usually the younger, the better. So the younger guys on our staff are better at that. What it is, you know, back in the day, we'd all read the sporting section. And if it wasn't in the newspaper and in the sports section, you didn't know about it. So nowadays, everything is pretty much on social media. And a lot of times by the time the newspaper comes out, it's old news. So yeah. you gotta make sure you put that information out there. At the same time, I think developing your players to understand the positive things, but also not biting off more than you can chew. And what I mean is you don't give a baby steak. And so many programs, I mean, LeBron does it in the playoffs, usually gets off social media just so he can lock in and focus and concentrate. Other programs, I know in the past, Clemson would get off social media when it was playoff time so people could concentrate. And social media is not for everybody, meaning a lot of haters out there. And if you're trying to appease everybody else out there, it's hard for you to be yourself or get better at what you need to do. And we all have an inner circle, and that inner circle is so much more important than some fan from across the country that doesn't like you, that's tweeting against you. So I think educating our student athletes about social media and the positives, but also not putting them in harm's way or having them lose their focus and direction because of it as well.
Right. They have to beware their digital tattoo, because what they put out there, it lasts And it's hard to get rid of it, But it does seem like I follow obviously the team social media, and I follow some of the players. And man, they seem like Teague just seems to have such a great grasp of what to put out there, how to praise other. It's never braggy. And I think that also goes back to your culture piece. And if the two of those, because social media can be powerful and it can be used to help people. And if those are combined and meshed, it seems like your guys really have a cool grasp on that.
And we call those joy interviews. So when people are doing those and putting Jesus first and others second, I mean, those are the things that we try to do. And as you know, you bragging about yourself is one thing. Someone else bragging about you is completely different. And
yes,
we want to get that second part a lot more. And with that, part of the NBA training we always do with our players, bringing in professionals to also make sure that they know what they're putting out. Like you said, the digital tattoo, it's out there forever.
Yeah.
And if you're not good with your pastor seeing it, you're not good with grandma seeing it, you're not good with your school teachers or your mom and dad seeing it, then you probably don't need to put it out there, because one day your kids will see it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's so awesome that you have. I'm thankful to kind of played when I did, and that wasn't an issue at all. We didn't worry about those things at all, but the pressures that they have now to handle, I think your guys do a great job. And I also think you're selling yourself short. Like, I follow you and I think you do a good job. One thing I really appreciate that you do is how much you acknowledge, praise, and encourage the other sports at Baylor. And I think that's a growth area for me, is to get outside of my basketball blinders and bubbles. You do a great job of that.
Well, thank you. And again, it's as you know, what's so special about Baylor is the family atmosphere. We had 17 sports, 14 of them were top 25.
Wow.
We had four ranked number one. But Mac has done such an unbelievable job, our athletic director, with the culture here as well, where the coaches cheer for each other, pull for one another, support one another, and we all learn from each other.
Mm. How do you handle defeat directly after a game with your team in the locker room?
Yeah, and this one, especially when I was first starting out coaching, I probably did a poor job of. So I can help everyone out there to avoid the same pitfalls. And my dad was always great after a loss. But the older I've gotten, the more I realized just what the veteran coaches say. And a lot of times it's best to speak less after a loss and go to the film, because so often what you think happened might not have happened like you thought it happened.
Absolutely.
And it allows you to make decisions and make recommendations based on facts and accurate information rather than your memory. And so often we come into a locker room and after a tough loss, you're mad about this or that. And then you watch the film and you're like, man, we did better in that area. We did better. This area is the area I thought we did fine. And that's really what hurt us. So it's most veteran coaches say less after a loss. And what we do normally is one or two things, and the Lord's Prayer, and we say that on a win or a loss, and then we move on from there. And then the next day we go to film breakdown, or when the next practice we have. In fact, one NBA team, I think it was a 48-hour rule or whatever, but they'd always wait because they didn't want – it was too emotional right after a game, and the longer it went after the game, the more teaching actually could be done. I do know you try to be more teachers and give accurate counsel rather than just emotional thoughts.
Right.
So that's something. And then I think the biggest thing is, from that, you're going to say things that you wish you didn't, or you messed up on, or you might tell a player it's a bad shot during the game and you watch it on film, it was a good shot. It's a bad pass on during the game, and on film, it hit the guy right in the hands. He should have caught it, you know? So there's things that when you are wrong, make sure you acknowledge that and say that, just like you want teammates to work together. And that's my bad on that pass, or I messed up on this. You want people to take accountability. And I think us coaches showing our team that we make mistakes is crucial, because we do. We're human. And we make mistakes every game. And own them, just like we want the players to.
I think that's incredible that, I mean, even at the level that you're at with the players you have, that you're willing to be that authentic, you know, and transparent when you make a mistake, instead of because I think sometimes as coaches, we feel like we don't want to look either weak or like we don't know everything, or but showing them that we're capable of making those mistakes might even help them to be okay, because we want them to make mistakes. We want them to push to those limits where they can get better, not play it safe the whole time. One thing I really appreciate about back in those days with you was, even though, I mean, when we lost, like, players rarely are trying to lose, especially the guys that you have. I mean, they're fighters, you know, and most players are pleasers. They want to do well and want to win. But one thing I appreciate is that you held us accountable. Like, that year, there wasn't a lot to play for, but you made it feel like that. Like, these games really did matter. What's kind of that each game approach that you have with your guys?
I think if you have a number of little goals, whatever it is, if it's field goal percentage, if it's assist to turnover ratio, if it's rebounding, free throw percentage. I mean, if you set more goals than just we want to win the game, because if you're 40 points better, you might only win by two. And is that acceptable? Is that good? You might be 40 points inferior and you lose by 10, but you played a heck of a game. Is that terrible? So I think games within a game, meaning what numbers, like on offense, what are your goals as a team? And if you're able to achieve those, give credit for those. If you don't achieve them, no matter how much you win by, hold people accountable where we have to do that. Same thing with the defense, same thing with rebounding, everything, whatever things would be important to you as a coach, that's going to be important to your players. But that's one way to always measure and make every game important. Then I always like to, I mean, what motivation, what excites you to play that game? So we're all going to have good music. We're all going to have fans. So what else can motivate you? And I think that's important, because human desire at the end of the day, and passion, that goes a long way as well.
Yeah, Pete Carroll talked about after wins or losses, when they go into the locker room after games, there's a highlight film of that game. So win or loss, they're going in and they're looking at things that they did well. And I wish we had the technology to do that here. I can't convert a game quick enough to highlights. But back in the day, you would do your best with trash cans and things to bang it on to get us hyped before games. Just how's that changed? What if you could take kind of us inside that championship locker room, what are those guys doing? What are you doing with them to kind of get them ready to go every night?
Well, trash cans aren't the old metal ones they used to be. So, and stereos are a lot better. So normally it's more music nowadays. Obviously you have highlight videos that everybody tends to show at times. But at the same time, we have a lot of players that, really are driven themselves. So, you want players, they got to know how to get themselves ready. They can't always be relying on coaches or this or that. So, I think a combination of all the above. But the older I've gotten, the more simplistic it's become with normally some good music, and then just this is what we got to do, and then let them go out there and take care of business themselves.
Coaches, the one thing that every team needs is confident shooters. The last 8 years at Grapevine Faith, our teams have averaged 354 made threes each season. I love getting to share with coaches how our shooters train, and more importantly, how they think. If you would like to enhance your shooting culture at your school, contact me directly at jamotipodcast@gmail.com. Coach, are you ready for the speed round?
So in the Give me the speed round. What's the speed round?
It's about 30 seconds, and I'm just going to fire quick questions. The first thing that comes into your head, you just blurt it out. All right, it'll only last about 30 seconds, about 10 questions here. Ready? Favorite ice cream flavor?
Rocky Road.
For high school, shot clock or no shot clock?
Shot clock.
Texting or talking?
Texting.
Favorite holiday?
Christmas.
Invisibility or super strength?
Super strength.
If you could travel back in time, what period would you go to?
Oh, man. That's a tough one. You got me on the speedy ground.
A couple more. Place you'd most want to travel if you haven't been there?
Bora Bora.
Okay. Favorite childhood TV show?
Oh, man.
Skip it. Two more. How many cups of coffee do you drink per day?
Two.
And then last one. This is huge. Godfather or Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Nice. Good choice, Coach. That's a good choice. I just want to just tell you, thank you so much for, I can't imagine how many directions you're being pulled. And thank you so much for being with the podcast today. And
hey, you did a great job. You got a chance to be a podcast guy.
Thank you for checking out today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast, share it with your fellow coaches, and find us on social media for what's coming up next on the Jamoti Podcast. It's just a matter of doing it.